Thanks.
Okay.
So beginning of 3 weeks, it's a time very similar to the period of time we've had fairly recently, this time of Sfiras HaOmer, where we have this public avelus, where we don't have weddings, and over the generations, the Jewish people have added certain prohibitions. We've added, you know, just in general, we don't have music, we don't dance, we don't have certain simchas that we try to avoid. And obviously, as the period intensifies throughout the 9 days after Rosh Chodesh and the Shavuot Shechalbo, there is a Shavuot Shechalbo this year, is an interesting sugya. But for our purposes, we realize that as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, the period of time intensifies. And as with the period of Avelus during Sfiras HaOmer, it's really a basic question you could ask is just, why is it that the Avelus that we have does not dissipate over time? Rather, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, it's consistent, but in our case, in 3 weeks, it intensifies over time. And we actually get worse and worse as we lead up to the day of Tisha B'Av itself, before we finally, on the Chatzos of the 10th day of Av, so we finally abandon the Avelus altogether and we move into a greater time of Simcha. So the real difference between this type of Avelus, which referred to as Avelus Yeshana, versus Avelus Chadasha, where a person suffers a loss, is that here we're not mourning a current loss. When this person, God forbid, suffers a loss, of Avelus, so right away it hits them the hardest. So we have a period of Aninus, as we spoke about a little bit, Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, the mace is right there. And then you have the period of Shiva, and then Shloshim, and then for some, Yud Beis Chodesh. So as time moves forward, things get less and less intense, because the loss is a little bit further away. But when it comes to the Avelus of Tisha B'Av, and even the Mises Rabbi Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, so the Avelus is right there. And as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, it gets closer and closer, and we intensify it because we're commemorating something. But again, there are many losses that we suffered over the generations, and specifically, these two periods of times are the ones that we commemorate the most. So I want to just suggest that the reason why we commemorate these two is that we have a similar charge that's put upon us by Chazal to understand the reasons behind these particular calamities. Right? So we know the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that we lost the Talmid Rabbi Akiva because Shelo Nogu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. They didn't treat each other with proper respect. And the Gemara also tells us that the first Beis HaMikdash, you can already look in the Navi, why we lost the first Beis HaMikdash was because of the Averus Chamuras, Kili Arayas, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. And the second Beis HaMikdash was lost because of Sinas China. So it's a similar theme that we have between these two periods of Avelus. That on one hand, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva didn't treat each other with enough respect, and on the second type of Avelus, we also have this Isser of Sinas Chinam that we violated, and the Gemara says, we see from here that Sinas Chinam is Keneged Gimel Averus Chamuros, Keneged Gilei Arayos Shvichas Dam Lan Avodah Zarah. Now, the obvious question on that is, no, it's not. It's not. Sinas Chinam is bad and not the right thing, not the way to behave. But it's not connected. Gimel Averus Chamuros, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Dam Avodah Zarah. Those are the real big three. You're supposed to give up your life rather than violate those three Averus. You're not supposed to give up your life rather than to hate another Jew. It's just not the halacha. Similarly, you have this concept. Talmid Rabbi Akiva died. Ashlo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. Okay. So, they didn't treat each other with proper respect. I find it hard to believe they didn't treat each other with any respect. They probably treated each other with a decent amount of respect, just not what was required of them on their level. But still, we also disrespect each other. We don't die. We don't have plagues that wipe us out in short periods of time. So why is it that these things are considered so chamor that they're the reason behind the two periods of public mourning that we experience over the course of the year? So I think you can answer based on a very simple yisod of what the Torah really is supposed to mean to a Jew. We know that every single human being was created B'Tselem Elohim. It says so in Parshas Bereishis. Every person was created B'Tselem Elohim. There were no such things as Jews and non-Jews at the time. There was just Adam HaRishon, B'Tselem Elohim. That's it. We have a human being created in the image of Hashem. And in the times of Noach, the world was given the Shem Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The Shem Mitzvos B'nei Noach seemed to be there to preserve our B'Tselem Elohim. Meaning we have, you know, as the philosophers and the and some of the Rishonim point out, we have four types of creation, right? We have the creation of domim, just rocks and earth. Then we have plant life, tzomeach. Then we have chai. Then we have animal life. And we have medaber, we have human beings who speak. Right? Kuzari has an additional level of Yisrael. So what does that mean to us? When we were begeder medaber, when we were begeder B'nei Noach, we were given a charge of seven mitzvahs. What are the seven mitzvahs? It's basically the easy way to remember it. It's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, the big three. Right? Eiver min achai, Birkas Hashem, Gezel, Dinim, Gilei Ra'ah, Shvichas Dam, Avodah Zarah. So those are not, if you think about it, what were the B'nei Noach asked to accomplish? Those aren't accomplishments. Those aren't difficult tasks to perform. It was basically saying, listen, you are the highest form of creation. So therefore, you have to do certain things to maintain your Tzelem Elohim. So you're a Medaber. You're above the level of Chai. So you're a Tzelem Elohim. You have to do something to not destroy that. Don't eat Eiver Min Achai. Don't be a barbarian. You want to eat meat? I'm going to be matur you to eat meat. But you have to at least kill it first. You're not a wolf or a lion where you rip things apart and you just start eating them while the animal is still dying. Kill the food, cook it, whatever. Eat it like differently than every other creation, right? Birkas Hashem, concept of blasphemy, introducing us to the idea of Akoras HaTov. You know, we understand that, realize that everything you have comes from somewhere. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't curse at the Rabbono Shel Olam and think that when things don't go your way, you know, you have everything coming to you, you get angry. Just understand that things come from a certain place that you're supposed to have a Akoras HaTov to that. Gezel, you have to understand there's something called my property, your property. You know, we don't just mark our territories and then just anybody who comes near us, we just try to kill them and drive them away, or on the flip side, try to just take over extra territories, etc. We recognize that there is such a thing as ownership. We recognize such a thing as property. We have dinim, right? Dinim means have a society. Have a society. We have the intellect to set up governments. We have the intellect to set up rules, regulations, basic laws. Okay, take advantage of that. We take advantage of these intellectual gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And obviously, Gilui Arayos recognized that you have a drive to procreate, just like every other species has such a drive, but within a certain system, you can procreate. We believe that. There are certain relationships that are completely forbidden, even if you have a drive for them, and there are certain relationships that are permissible. So guide yourself, take your natural urges, and guide them in a particular direction. Shvichas damim. Sometimes people, you know, drive us crazy, they make us very, very angry, but you have to recognize every time you look at another human being, you're looking at a Tzelem Elohim. So you have to treat it as such. You can't extinguish that Tzelem Elohim. And Avodah Zarah. It's our job. It's every human being's job, no matter what religion he started off in. This is a much bigger topic, but no matter where he started in life, it's every single human being's job to try to arrive at the emes, to try to arrive at Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And it's our job to think about it. Even if we started, by the way, on the right track. Even if we started on the right track, we were brought up, Baruch Hashem, in a situation where we knew the emes. It's still our job to understand it on our own as well. And if we already understood it from the time that we were little kids, it's our job to make it more real. It's our job to make it more meaningful. So these are the Shev Mitzvahs V'nei Noach. They're designed to protect us from destroying our Tzelem Elohim. They're not really asking us to actively do that much. Just don't destroy your Tzelem Elohim. That's what makes us human. And then came along Klal Yisrael. And we were given 606 additional ways to raise ourselves above that. We were given the Taryag Mitzvos. We were given Limud HaTorah. We were given Mitzvos Maisios. we have the ability to not only be a Tzelem Elokim, but to be something greater. And that's really what the Kuzari was talking about, that there is a level above Medaber, which is Yisrael. So that's a debatable point in terms of what's the nature of the Jewish soul versus the non-Jewish soul, that the Jewish philosophers can debate and the Mekubalim can debate. All right, that's not really where I'm going. But the idea is that the mitzvos are supposed to elevate us above where the Tzelem Elokim takes us. And that is often the case. That's usually the way we do it. Usually we have a foundation in humanity. We have a strong foundation as being normal, good people. And then we use the Tariq Mitzvahs to elevate us above that and make us even better. But sometimes we will do something, or we'll have a hashkafa, or we'll have an outlook in life where it hits at the core of what it means to be a Tzelem Elokim. So for example, if you take the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, so yes, they were learning Torah, and they were learning Torah on extremely high levels, I'm sure. And they were, you can imagine for a second, someone building a house with a lousy foundation. So somebody builds a building like this. It's a one-story building. It has a nice tall ceiling. But essentially, if you build a lousy foundation over here, what's going to happen? So 10, 15, 20 years into the life of the structure, something's going to start getting crooked, something's going to start toppling in, and you're going to see that the walls of Beis Medrash, you're going to feel like Rabbi Eliezer must have said something, and now the walls of Beis Medrash are coming in on you a little bit. So you leave, and then you walk outside, and you say, all right, we better fix that. And it's going to be hard to fix, but it's fixable. So imagine now if somebody built a skyscraper. Somebody builds a skyscraper of 100 stories on a faulty foundation. When that thing comes down, it's going to come down hard. It's going to take a lot of people with it. It's going to be tragic. And that's what really happened to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, is that when you or I, when we display a lack of a foundation, we display bad midos, we display a concept of l'onagu kavod zeh bezeh, what does it really mean not to give kavod to another individual? It means I don't recognize that you're a Tzelem Elokim. I don't recognize that there's something special about you. I'm only really looking at it for myself. So if I'm not recognizing that you're a Tzelem Elokim, there's something wrong with my foundation. Something wrong with my humanity. And then, okay, so you say, all right, so there's something wrong with my humanity. I need to fix it. So most of the time it's fixable. The problem is when you build upward as you go. So you have most people, like you or I, as I said, we'll do some mitzvahs here and there. We'll learn some Torah here or there. But okay, how high do we really get? We get second story, third story, 10th story. Right? We're working hard to get up there. But in the end of the day, if you build a 10-story building on a faulty foundation, it could be bad. But it's not nearly as bad as the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. When they're learning Torah on the highest of levels, they're being part of the Balei Masorah. They're being part of perpetuating Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. All of a sudden, they're building up on top of, story on top of story. They're building a skyscraper of 100 floors on a faulty foundation. And when that thing comes toppling over, it's destructive. And it killed them all. Because they didn't have this basic understanding of respecting one another. Not that disrespecting one another is such a chamur avera, but that it hits at the foundation, it hits at the core. And therefore, if you build on top of that, you can have horrible results. Similarly, the Gemara says that Gili Arayis and Shvichas Dam Avodah Zarah was the reason for destruction of Beis HaMikdash number 1, and Beis HaMikdash number 2 was Sinas Chinam. We say, so you see, Sinas Chinam is Shekel Keneged the Gimel Averis Chamuros. Aye, but it's not. The answer is, in this way it is. In this way it is. The second Beis HaMikdash, we had Torah. We had mitzvos. We even had Gemilas Chasadim, the Gemara says. We even had Gemilas Chasadim. But what we didn't have was Ahavas Chinam. We had Sinas Chinam instead, which again hits at the foundation of what it means to be a Tzelem Elokim. It hits at the foundation of what it means to be a Jew. If we don't have this natural affinity for one another to recognize that we're all created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then there's something wrong with our foundation. And in the same way that Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah can destroy a foundation, so too Sinas Chinam can destroy a foundation. And when we build on top of that with Torah and Mitzvot and Gemilas Chasadim, it causes destruction. And I think this is something that's a little bit lacking amongst the Torah Jews of today. I think that we sort of miss the boat on this, and it's part of our success that's brought about this difficulty in our communities. What do I mean? A lot of times, what you'll find amongst frum Jews is that we're very good at doing things that we consider to be frum things to do, but we're not particularly good at doing things that are not important enough for us. Yeah, that's for lesser people. That's for those who are not on our level. We sort of overlook those things. But those things are what generate a foundation upon which Torah and Mitzvah is supposed to be built. First, we're supposed to be great human beings, and once we're great human beings and we have that solid foundation upon which to build, then we can rise above it. Then we can become even more than that. And this is something that I think is not given a lot of stress, unfortunately, for B'nai Torah, because not for a bad reason, but I think it's because we're trying so hard to get more, we sometimes overlook things that we take for granted. Of course, we're doing that, so we never have a period of time where we make a cheshbon ha-nefesh and we say to ourselves, oh, is this the way it should be? But I think these periods of time are times when a person should be making a cheshbon ha-nefesh. It should be saying, am I the right type of person? Am I the right type of human being? Am I the right tzelem Elokim that I'm supposed to be? For example, there are a lot of neighborhoods you can go to, and there's no one in particular that I'm thinking of. A lot of neighbors you can go to, you know they're completely frum neighborhoods. Right? You also sometimes know that that's not always the most pleasant place you want to be. You're not one thing for sure, you can walk around certain neighborhoods, you can walk around a Jewish neighborhood at 3 in the morning and you're not afraid of anybody putting a gun, pulling out a gun and mugging you. But on the other hand, it's not always so pleasant to be in such a place. Sometimes we come across a lot of Jewish people and we don't think, oh, that was the most pleasant experience I ever had. Sometimes it's just the opposite. Sometimes you encounter a large mass of Jews and you think that was a rather unpleasant experience. That's not the way it's supposed to be. If you encounter a mass of Jews, you're supposed to be encountering people who not only excel at being human beings, but they excel at going above and beyond that. They also have a tremendous amount of spirituality. It's not supposed to be that since we're so spiritual, we don't have to be pleasant human beings. We don't have to treat each other with respect. Generally speaking, the more Jews in a neighborhood, the lesser your chance of being greeted on the street. That's a general klal in Jewish life, is that if you're in a Jewish neighborhood that has only 10 Jews, every single Jew will say hello to you on the street, whether it's Shabbos or not. So Shabbos makes an easy excuse, because you can say good Shabbos to somebody. But if it's during the week, it's even mutter to say good morning, hello, good afternoon, or if you're too shy to say something like that, maybe a smile and a nod, something, right? It is mutter, even not on Shabbos. You could say it's more kavod Shabbos because if I don't greet anybody during the week and I dafka greet them on Shabbos, so it's even greater kavod Shabbos. But l'maisa, I think it could be mekel and even greet somebody during the week. But a lot of times, the more people we think, we're above that. We're beyond that. That's for out of towners. Out of towners have to be nice because what choice do they have? If they're not nice to each other, so then they'll have nobody. I could be mean to these people, I'll still have those people. I could be mean to those people, I'll still have those people. But it's not really so. We're supposed to realize that everything we do builds on the foundation of being a Tzelem Elokim. Everything we do builds on the foundation of humanity. And when a person thinks of a frum Jew, a person should think of the most pleasant type of person they've ever encountered. And again, everybody has a different kind of personality. Not everybody's super outgoing. Some people are more reserved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when people think of the Jews, and even frum Jews, are they really thinking of the most refined people they've ever encountered? People who exhibit midos tovos, people who exhibit grace and humility and politeness. So Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes not. And I'm willing to say that I think the Jewish people, and right now I'm being part of the problem, but right, I think the Jewish people get a bad rap for it. I think, you know, everyone says, oh, Jews are dishonest, right? Because why? Every time a Jew does something dishonest, ends up on the front page of the New York Times, ends up on the front page of every newspaper, right? It could be 50 non-Jews who were dishonest at the same period of time. Nobody cares. If a Jew was dishonest, and especially if it was a frum Jew, so then it gets on the front page of the paper. And I think that's true. V'haraya, there is a long-standing tradition amongst the world that they say the Jews are cheap. But we know, statistically and otherwise, Jews are by far the most generous people on earth. We give way more tzedakah. If you would ever stop a non-Jew and talk about, oh, he's a tremendous philanthropist. What does he give? He gave $2 million to tzedakah last year. He's worth $2 billion. You know, they would, if according to the Gemara of Bava Basra, they would seize his property if he only gave $2 million. You know, if you talk to a non-Jew about a person giving the average person or the average person who's making, you know, good money, giving 10% of their wealth, 20% of their wealth to tzedakah, that's unheard of. It's absolutely unheard of in the rest of the world. Unless the person is about to die or something like that. There's no such thing. We're the most generous people in the world. But the world calls us cheap. Because they know of a few circumstances here and there. Similarly, Jews are, I think, very, very honest people. But there are certain exceptions, and those guys make it into the papers, and the world looks at it. So you say, all right, it's not our fault that the world looks at us that way. So I want to say that it is our fault. I want to say that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating with us that we're not being honest enough, that we're not being generous enough. We don't judge ourselves. We'll say, all right, let's find the lowest common denominator and compare ourselves to them. It's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to find what we're capable of accomplishing. I mean, imagine for a second, if all the Jewish people acted the way they were supposed to act, if we acted the way we were supposed to act, and we were polite, we were kind, we were generous, we were honest, and there was a guy at the office who wanted to get involved with some type of shady business deal. So he says to his frum partner, oh, you want to go in on this deal with me? It's not completely on the up and up. So the Jew sits there and he thinks back and forth. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe we'll get caught. Maybe we won't get caught. He says, from Jew says, this is not the way I operate. I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He says, and my world is run by God. There's nothing that I would do that even smacks of dishonesty. People would respect that. People would look highly upon that and they'd say, wow, this guy, he holds himself to a higher standard. And everybody would know that there's no talk of any kind of shady business with this guy in the room. You know, I have a friend, more than one, who everyone knows he's a respected worker in his office, he's a hard worker, and he's successful. They know not to curse around him. They know they're not allowed. He never once said that they're not allowed. But they know he doesn't like it. He holds himself to a higher standard. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know, in offices, certainly in the New York area, the type of language that's used on a regular basis is not so good. So people know that when they speak with foul language around this person, it hurts his feelings. He doesn't like it. And they know they'll never hear that kind of talk out of his mouth. And it happens to be once in a while, people make a mistake and they curse around him and they apologize to him. He didn't ask. Maybe he makes a face, but he never once said, you can't talk that way around me. But people understand. He holds himself to a higher standard. I have a friend who's at a ball game one time. Some guy was cursing out one of the players. He turned around. He saw this guy looking like a frum person. And he said to him, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there, sir. He understands. This guy holds himself to be a more refined human being. Doesn't speak that way. Doesn't think about dealing with improper matters. So you say, well, people will accuse us of these things no matter what. Imagine if you're in an office and you're at the water cooler, whatever the stereotype is, and somebody says, you know, I was playing in the park the other day with a bunch of African Americans who were playing basketball. These guys were terrible. It's like, I'm telling you, African Americans, they're the worst basketball players. They don't know what they're doing out there. They're really like, they're unathletic and they're slow and they can't shoot. Oh, they're really the worst. What are everybody else going to say? No, you met the 10 worst ball players in the community. Like, look at the NBA. Look at everywhere. Like, clearly this is a group of people who are excellent ball players. There's no doubt. You can't just like start telling me just because you met one doesn't mean that these guys are bad at ball. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be for a Jew. Some guy says, oh yeah, another dirty Jew got sent up the river, you know, for a crime. So everyone who's ever encountered a Jew should be saying, oh, just because you heard of one Jew who is dishonest, I know every Jew I've ever met is the most honest person I've ever met. This is the most moral person, or the most, you know, the most decent person I've ever met. See, that's the way we should be, and I guarantee you things would change. If we would all act the way we are supposed to act, if we would speak the way we're supposed to speak, if we would develop that kind of foundation that we're supposed to have, if we would say to ourselves every once in a while, if I was a high-functioning or very responsible or very good human being, what would I do right now? Instead of just saying, those cheshbonos aren't for me. Those cheshbonos are they're for lower people than me. Right? The rules don't apply to me. Like, you see, sometimes you see, you know, I went out of camp last Thursday. I went on a hike with my wife. And I saw on the floor, again, this is bad because it makes me look better than anybody. And anybody who knows me knows I'm not better than anybody. So we were walking on the trail. And we saw a wrapper that had, like, some one of the Hamisher companies, you know, on the ground. So I, like, whatever, I'm not a big picker up of garbage, but like I ran and I picked it up quickly. I said, because anyone who finds this is going to know that some Jew dropped this and left it over there, and there's a garbage can, you know, 5 feet away. So why? Because Jews are the only people who throw their garbage on the floor? Everybody throws their garbage on the floor. Okay, but we're not everybody. We're supposed to be better than that. We have to run dominion. We can't be wasting our time picking up garbage. We have to go learn. We have to go daven. We have to go do important things. Yes, that's all true. But the learning and the davening and everything else is supposed to be on top of that. It's supposed to make us better than that, but first we have to be that. First we have to be great people, and then we can be great Jews. And I think, I'm sorry for going over time, so I'm sort of being hypocritical here, because you guys are supposed to do something else now, I think one of the themes that we're supposed to work on in the 3 weeks, we talk about being at Tzelem Elokim, Avas Chinam, right? Noi kavod ze beze. These are things we're supposed to think about in terms of making ourselves great people so that we can be great human beings, responsible human beings, ethical human beings. Those types of people who then, when we put Torah and mitzvos, on top of that, it's built upon the strongest of foundations. And then we can really fly. Then we can really build those skyscrapers. And the types of skyscrapers are going to last the Omead, because they're built on top of the solid foundations.